Hey, this is Reza.
This is Sandy.
Welcome to the Stone Cold Sober Podcast.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hello and welcome to the 441st episode of the Stone Cold Sober Podcast. Sandy, how was your week? How are you doing this weekend?
Week was good. Week was busy. A couple of tough nights back to back with Riley, but you know we're still finding our way with schedules. We're starting to figure out what works. We're trying to keep her up more during the day, regulating her feed schedule so that as she gets closer to the evening, we like let her nap a little bit less. We start to feed her a little bit more so that last feed right before we put her down is the biggest feed, and we've had some success. There's always, she's been consistent with a large window that she is napping, whether that's during the day or at night, where she can go like maybe 5 hours, and we're just trying to get it so that it's at night. But you know, the big thing this weekend was my parents were able to come up and stay with us in our apartment. This is the first time that anyone has stayed over at our apartment since we moved in.
Yeah,
they slept on an air mattress in the office, which is where I'm recording this right now. So the good news is it could fit a queen size air mattress, and overall our apartment, which is like a 2-bed, 1-bath, 800 square foot spot, could support 4 adults.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it was cozier, but it didn't feel like we were ever like on top of each other. And it was just for them to spend a lot of time with Riley. Because Riley, as you know, like every week in the beginning of life just feels like so monumental and momentous in terms of like the amount of progress they're making.
Yeah.
Where now Riley at 5 weeks, tomorrow will be 6, but at 5 weeks she is able to like, her eyes can track really clearly. So we put the high contrast cars in front of her. She can basically go, like, if you think of her laying on a clock, staring at 3 o'clock, she can go from 3 to 9, back to 3, back to 9. Like, it's, and like, go up to 12. And so it's really nice that she's sort of building her way up, I'll say.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so this is week 6 now, right?
It's the end of week 5.
End of week 5. Okay, starting week 6. Okay.
Start of week 6, yeah.
Yeah, based on that chart that I was telling you about that I saw, however many years ago, but it's 4.5 years ago at this point. the crying is at its like peak at this point, and it's going to start to tail down. It's really nice, like you said, to be able to get a bit more on a schedule. Like for a long time, we kind of just, Gordon was up, or at least around, as long as we were around. So if we were hanging out in the family room, Gordon was hanging out in the family room with us. And if it was 10 p.m., he might be sleeping, but he might be in the family room with us, you know, while we're watching TV, or he could be awake. But, you know, we eventually started to put him into the room by himself at around this age, I think, that Riley is at now, I think, at least at that time. And so, you know, we would leave him in the bedroom by himself and, you know, keep the monitor around. I think this must be around the time that we finally, no, it wasn't yet. It was when Gordon got to his own room that we started putting a camera in his room that we still use to this day. But yeah. Are you like, what's her schedule like? So when you put her down to bed, do you leave her in the room and hang out with Carolyn for a bit, or does Carolyn go to bed as soon as Riley does?
Carolyn goes to bed. So an ideal schedule will start with like, I think it's easiest to start at like 8 p.m. So Carolyn wants to be in bed the latest by 10 p.m. So she might do the last 8 p.m. feed. I'll do maybe the 10 p.m. feed and like the midnight feed.
Okay.
And then I'll put her down. I'm usually in bed by like maybe 12:30 to 1 because like you, I like reset the home after I put her down. It also gives me time to like be, you know, solo dolo for a little bit with a podcast in while I'm like wiping countertops and putting stuff back, and it makes me feel really good.
Yep.
Ideally, I wake up at like 5:30, 6. wake her up, or slash she might have woken us up by that point. I do the first feed, put her back down, because that first feed in the morning, she can go back down and probably like sleep for another 3 or 4 hours, which we'll let her do. And then I'll take Oliver out. So this is like, I've been taking him out like stupid early. Like, what's it called? What is that I'm thinking? Like maybe like anywhere between like 6 and 7, I'll take him out. So it's like a much earlier commuter crowd. And then I come back, I make a pot of coffee with that new burr grinder, which is working great. And then I get to work. I start work at around like maybe 7:45, 8 o'clock latest. And then I work from 8 to 5 or 6. And then I sign off. But in the middle between like 8 and 6, it's like, you know, Carolyn will do an 8 o'clock feed. Might go back to bed for a little bit. And then really start your day in earnest around like 10 or 11. And do the feeds like every 2 hours, trying to keep her up as much as we can. If Karen, if Riley wants a nap, we let her nap like earlier in the day, but by like, I want to say like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
We try to keep her up as much as we can.
Okay. It's going to be nuts when she starts napping like 2 times a day and it's just like, you know, that's 2.
Oh God.
There was when Gordon was, I don't remember how old he was, maybe around 1-ish at least. I remember he was on a 2-nap-a-day schedule, so he would wake up. He's always been an early riser, so he'll wake up at like 6 a.m., sometimes earlier, which is around the time when I started watching Formula One, because you'd wake up early enough. This is pandemic time, and there was nothing on TV, and I turn it on, and all of a sudden there was a Formula One, and I must have just finished watching Drive to Survive, so I kicked it on and got hooked from there. But he would wake up around like, you know, 6-ish, and he would take a morning nap. So he would take a nap by like, let's say 9 or 10 a.m., and then he'd be awake for a bit, and then we wanted him in bed by like 6:30 or so, maybe 7. And so he would take a nap in the afternoon, but it was kind of up in the air. Like, you know, he's too young to be reasoned with. So he would fall asleep when he would fall asleep. Sometimes we would take him up and try to get him to settle in, and he wouldn't. Or sometimes he would just fall asleep downstairs, you know, like he would get really tired and we'd eventually get him upstairs. But if he didn't fall asleep by 4 p.m., we had to keep him up, because if we didn't keep him up and we let him take a nap after 4, he'd be up until like 8. It was always a disaster. So once Riley hits that type of schedule, it's just going to be so wild.
Also going to be a lot tougher, because you're going to need to like interact with her, and not that it's a bad thing, but it's a different type of thing for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting, and you'll see how other parents do it with their kids, right? Like you'll go to restaurants and you'll see some parents with their young kids, and they're, you know, they give the kids you know, an iPad, for instance. And I remember looking at other parents like, I can't believe they're doing this iPad thing, right? I can't believe the kids are, you know. But what off, like for us at least, you know, you're at a point when you're at a restaurant, and one, you want the kid to kind of just be chill and not interrupt other people's meals, but two, it's a date with the kid, and you're going to want to spend some time with each other and actually communicate with one another. It can be really hard to like focus on, to have a relationship with your partner when this third person's around, this person who's so dependent on you. And so I, you know, there are definitely times when we go to a restaurant and we'll put on, you know, an episode of Bluey, or I said episode, you know, a few episodes of Bluey or something for Gordon. We tend to not do it as much anymore. We used to do it a bit more, but nowadays we tend to not do it as much. Maybe that's also because we tend to not go out to eat very often at restaurants with Gordon either. But, when you have to be really attentive with the kid, it definitely results in, you know, you can't do your thing while the kid's around, right? Like Riley's so young, you could basically put her on a pillow and just be in the vicinity but not actually have to give her your undivided attention. So you could work, for instance, while she's around, but when she's 2, you know, she's going to want you to play with her. She's going to want you to interact with her. And so you can be there, but you also have to kind of be focused on her, which is definitely a different, definitely a difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pros and cons, right? Like you'll also be able to reason with her. You're not going to be waking up every few hours to feed her at night. She's going to be eating, core meals a day. And then yes, she'll want some snacks occasionally too, but you're not going to be constantly like, who knows? She might wake up starving right now, or, you know, it's 2 p.m. and I have to get something done. And all of a sudden she's screaming for food. I got to drop whatever I'm doing. Like, you know, if Gordon, he'll keep complaining about food. Like he even tonight I was making his dinner and he like keeps telling me, "Daddy, I'm hungry." I'm like, "Dude, I'm working on it." Like it's you, every time you say it, it's not going to make it, it's not making the food get ready any faster. But
he's treating you like a line cook.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the food's cooking, my guy. Like it's on the stove. You see it's cooking on the stove. I already told you it's on the stove. So it'll be
ready. The food's on the stove, but it's not my belly though.
It'll be ready when it's ready. But
is that how it works?
You can reason with him and he's not like crying about it, right? He goes back to what he's doing. He just keeps fussing and whining about it. It's annoying because you're like, my guy, I already told you, you should understand. But it's very different than with an infant who is just going to keep wailing until you get that food into its belly. So.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, it'll just be something different that we're going to sort of trade in and out. And mm-hmm. She's crazy because she's not crazy. It's exciting that she is now starting to smile a lot more. And it's not like involuntary muscle smiles. And so there's it's quite cool that we're starting to experience all this stuff in real time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Are you taking a bunch of pictures and videos and stuff?
Trying to, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, we go back and look at pictures and videos of Gordon all the time. It's one of his favorite things to do. He loves looking at pictures and videos of himself when he was younger. He also hates posing for pictures, and he's also still like terrible. Like if he notices a camera on him, he just loves to make a goofy face. He loves to move. He completely stops whatever he's doing if you're recording a video of him. We don't take anywhere near as many pictures and videos as we used to, and I do need to try to be better about it because, I mean, it's constant, but when it's not as new as it is with a newborn, with a new person in your life, you're constantly documenting all the new things that they're doing. You know, Gordon is learning and doing new things all the time, but it's a little bit harder to kind of capture it on video, right? It's not quite as jarring as, oh, baby is, you know, stuck on the ground to all of a sudden baby is able to roll over and baby's able to crawl and do this and do that. Like there's everything is constantly new. So it's a little bit harder to capture quite all of that, but it really is fun and nice to be able to go back. Because when you're with a person who's constantly changing, even though you know the newness is happening, sometimes it's hard to quite remember the small subtleties, right? So the way that Gordon used to speak when he was two is really hard for me to imagine and remember. You know, I just remember his voice as it always is now, the way that he says R's and L's and he struggles with those letters, for instance. That's eventually going to go away. And once that does go away, it's going to be hard for me to remember that. I'm like, oh man, what did it sound like? So to like document all of that and be able to just go back and smile. And, you know, my phone will constantly say, oh, this moment 2 years ago. And it's fun to go and watch those videos or see those pictures.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. How was your weekend?
Yeah, my weekend was all right. So last week, right, I was sick. I've recovered a fair bit, but I'm still feeling some symptoms. Now, admittedly, most of them have left, which is great. My nose is I'm not quite as mucousy as I was. The cough is largely gone. Don't feel like any physical ailments related to it at all. So like no headaches and achiness like I was feeling last week. Now, this coming week, Lena and Gordon are actually going to Florida to Lena's mom's house. So Lena's cousin is in town with her son. Her son is 6-ish months, I think, older than Gordon. 5 or 6 months. So I think he is 5. I think he must be 5 years old already now. Also, another hilarious thing that Gordon does is he keeps saying he's 4 and a half. If I always say, how old are you? And he goes 4 and a half. Or if I say you're 4, he goes and a half. It just cracks me up. Anyway, so they're going to be going to Florida on Wednesday. So it'll just be me at the house here for a week. They get back the following Wednesday. But they're going to be doing like Disney and stuff like that. But this weekend, it was fairly chill. I got a few new computer components, actually way more than I was originally planning. I got a new graphics card and processor chip motherboard, so pretty much entirely new rig. So I will be So we went to Micro Center yesterday, and the main reason why I even like kind of took the full leap on this is because Lena was telling me the other day she's been doing some work because she's doing kind of her own independent thing now, right? She needs a more capable computer to handle a lot of the work that she's doing. So the other day, there was some software that she was developing some training for, and that software cannot run on her computer, on her laptop. She doesn't have enough RAM, so she actually had to install it on my computer so that she could run it. And I was like, oh, you know, like if she needs a new computer, I can give her a few components and I can just upgrade, right? I'm already feeling the itch. And my bonus finally came through. I'm already feeling the itch
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm saving up for that 10-year anniversary, which I think I've talked about on the podcast before too, but I reserved a little bit, you know, for myself, which was nice. I've also just been spending less over the last few months, which is, you know, just left me with extra money that I decided to spend. It actually is. Yeah, no, it really is. When you get your credit card statement at the end of the month, you're like, oh wow, that's a lot less than it has been recently, especially like Christmas time, not because of gift buying or anything, but just that time of year between buying flights and rental cars and this and that, those bills were a lot higher than they were than months before. But over the last couple of months, you know, spending is down a lot for me personally, at least. But I was like, okay, you know, I can give Lena my processor. I can give her some of my components and, you know, she doesn't have to spend too much money to get this thing. And so we went to Micro Center yesterday, which is like one of the last remaining, like computer part stores in the US. I'm sure there's others, but it's one of like the last big ones, I guess. And, it was so busy there. I couldn't believe how busy it was. So many people. And we were just like checking stuff out. I was under the illusion that I'd be able to like resolve all, because I had like, I had a number of options that I can get for her. I'm not going to get into like the nitty gritty details of it, but there were a number of, like, she doesn't need a gaming computer, for instance. However, she wants 4 monitors. And this ends up being a bit of a unique problem. If you want 4 monitors, you need 4 display outputs.
4 monitors.
Yeah. Yeah. She has 4 monitors. So she generally uses 3.
I only use 2, but I would like 3.
Yeah. I use 2. At work, I actually use 3, but one of them is my laptop screen.
Do you use that just for your email client?
It depends on what I'm doing. It really, really depends on what I'm doing. Sometimes, most of the time, one of the monitors is doing nothing. Like, I'm really just cycling back between the laptop screen and one of the ones to the left or to the right. If I'm coding, for instance, if I'm doing some programming, that script will always be open, you know, on one monitor. Then maybe I have Google on another one, and maybe I have like an Excel sheet or I have something else on the third monitor. So sometimes I do make use of all 3, but for the most part, I just use 2. I only need 2 at home. I have 2, gets the job done. But she wants to use 4. And so you need like your, you know, normal computers really can't output like without some type of graphics processor, whatever, can't really output that. So anyway, I knew like options that I could get for her. And so we went there and it just like, there's so many products, there's so many options, so many things that are well beyond what you need, right? Like you're in this build a PC aisle or section and most everything is geared toward gamers. And it's like, okay, not looking for gamer stuff, just need like the cheapest options to support this level of graphic output while also, you know, getting, you know, being suitable to utilize the components that I want to give her. Now, Lena has decided that she does not want to take anything from me for free. She's like, oh, I'm going to pay you fair market price. I'm like, this makes things so much more difficult. What? Yeah, so she doesn't want to.
Why would she think of it that way?
I think because it's a business expense, and I don't think she wants to take it for free, given that it's related to her business. I think she just doesn't want to take a gift in that, in like, for that purpose. You know, she wants to do her own thing. So I get it to a degree, but it makes it a little bit harder because my chip doesn't support XYZ, and I have to get her motherboard and all these different things. So anyway, we went and we took a look and ultimately couldn't find exactly what I needed for her. So I came home and was able to sit down at the computer and just do all the research that I really needed to do. I was able to kind of build out a couple of different options for her. I've sent that to her so she can check it out. And maybe next week she'll be able to check out, you know, and pull the trigger on something. Now, what I was hoping is that she would have bought the stuff this weekend so that when they're gone, I can sit down and do the builds and not have to worry, you know, just take my time and do it and not have, like, you know, get interrupted with Gordon or anything. While I know the process, I've done it a few times, it's still a time-consuming process, especially with, like, cable management inside. And, probably won't be able to do it when they're gone. But that's fine. I'll, her build's simple enough that I'll be able to do it fairly quickly anyway.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was really it. That was my weekend. Today, what did I do today? Just try to stay on top of cleaning. Got Gordon food and everything. We just did a family walk. So when you texted me saying that you were ready, we were just getting close to wrapping up our walk at that point. So fairly chill. Fairly chill overall.
With regards to the 10-year, do you remember that website I sent you?
Yeah.
All right, keep that handy.
Okay.
It's pretty good. You can also find really good deals at larger. So one way, not the only way, but one additional avenue would be to look up, say, via Marriott or something. Mm-hmm. You click on the hotel via Marriott, so the actual, like, website and not some third-party bit, and you can find a lot of packages that they sell that give you a little bit more, where depending on where I think you're looking to go, and I won't say it out loud, but depending on where I think you're trying to go, it makes those experiences a lot more on rails because you don't have to think about as much.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, that's covered, and this is covered, and that's covered. And it's like, oh, cool. And you don't feel like you have to either hit a minimum or you're paying, you know, out of pocket for all these other things. I think you'll both appreciate that a little bit more. So just an additional way. And also, if you decide that business class is the way you want to go there so that you can start to enjoy your tenure, like, immediately, always be sure to book it via the original airline's website and not
right.
like if it's serviced by a third party. Because then if it gets canceled, you're not going to get the original airline. You're going to get the third party airline.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying don't try to book with my credit card's travel website to earn the extra points. Make sure I get that, the insurance of, you know.
So yes and no. Yes and no. I just mean that, like, if you use your credit card points, which you totally can, just make sure that the itinerary states who's flying the plane, and it's not like, oh, this is an American Airlines flight, but it's actually being serviced by, like, a regional airline or something.
Right. Okay.
Because if it's actually being serviced by someone else, then, and you want that, if that route gets canceled for whatever reason, they're going to find you in American Airlines. Because you booked on their platform.
Okay. Got it. I actually misunderstood exactly what happened in that scenario. I thought what happened was that they were basically trying to just give you another airline that was flying at a very similar time, and they just gave you American's business version, which was not as luxurious as the other airline that you had originally booked with.
Okay. Yeah, for us it was Qatar, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the one we wanted to fly, but it was an American Airlines route that was serviced by Qatar, and that's how we got it cheaper by like 15-20%.
Yeah.
But then by doing that, when they canceled that route, because you're obviously entitled to do that. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, all right, well, you actually didn't purchase a Qatar Airlines, ticket. You purchased an American Airlines ticket that's getting serviced by them. And so we're going to find you on a, what's it called?
I see. Yeah. All right. Good. Very good to know. We'll absolutely consider keeping that in mind. Still, how many years away am I from this? Got married. Two and a half years away. So I still got more time to save and prepare. But it's a good thing I'm doing it up front, like early now, because it's just going to be one of those things where I'm able to just pull from the account that I've dedicated to this. And I'm not going to miss the money. I'm not going to be like scavenging and trying to make ends meet. Now, yes, maybe I'll miss, quote unquote, miss seeing the numbers in the account, but I know that that's what's very specifically dedicated to this trip.
Yeah.
I mean, very much carry for that one.
Yeah, the 10-year, you're going to do it upright. I know that for a fact. Well, we'll discuss offline again what your plans are, and I can keep an eye out for certain things to be like, did I have an experience similar? I'm sure you also have friends that have done it. It'll be a good way for you to crowdsource a lot of that like firsthand reporting as opposed to just, oh, well, I got to sift through all these reviews and hope that they're accurate and all that. And, so.
Right. Yeah, 100%. It'll be good too. Like Gordon's going to be 7 at that time. Yeah, he'll be starting second grade, I believe, around that time. Now that I think about it, right, I think I already knew this, but I'm going to have to push it back a little bit because it can't quite be on our anniversary since it's going to be really early in the school year and we're not going to want to dip out right at the beginning of the school year. So we might have to do it in like October-ish or something like that. But, nevertheless, it'll be good because Gordon's just going to be that much older. Grandma's going to be around. He's just going to be so much more independent and mature. And like, we already feel fairly comfortable leaving him with her, but we like what's the longest we left them together? Like 3-ish days, maybe. I want to say 3-ish days that we've left him with others. So yeah, it'll be a little bit more comfortable for us because it'll be like a 7-day trip or something like that at that point. He won't be happy about it still, but he'll be a lot more mature and capable of handling it at that point.
There you go. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Like even now, right? He knows about this trip coming up to grandma's house. Normally, we just tell him about things like day of. He just finds out we're going to the airport. He's like, "Are we going to the airport?" I'm like, "Oh, you'll see." And then he gets super excited when he starts seeing the airplanes taking off. And he knows we're getting close to the airport. When one of us has traveled, we've oftentimes kept it a secret. But when I went to Boston, he knew about it a few days beforehand. And I know I talked about this last week, but. Yeah, he is just far more capable of handling it. You'll see with Riley too. Like when you and or Carolyn have to do things and have to leave her for a little bit, it's like it's gutting because they're so emotional about it. When I went to your bachelor party, Gordon was not freaking out, but he was like in huge tears. When I was leaving, and Lana said, like, he got over it within like 5 minutes. But even so, like when you're leaving, it's just like such a big deal. They're crying. They want like all these hugs and kisses, and like your foot is outside the door, and you're closing the door, and like one more hug, and you come over and give them a hug as they're like screaming, and then 5 minutes later they're chill, and then the emotions always come back up every time it's like bedtime or every time you talk to them they're like, oh, when are you coming back, why aren't you back yet, things like that. So it gets better, and by 7 years old, 7 year old Gordon will be super super ready. I'm sure of it.
I thought that was so funny. He's crying, and then like 5 minutes later, he goes, "Well, I'm hungry. What do we got going on?"
No, That's basically what happened. Like, I think I left after dinner time, but nevertheless, it was like, maybe, oh, can I get a snack before bed? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And he's eating his apple or banana or something like that, and they head upstairs, read a book, and all that other good stuff. He'll ask about you occasionally, like, "Oh, I miss Daddy," because he'll do it to me, right? When Lena was in Jamaica with her mom a couple months ago, he was like constantly, "I miss Mommy, I miss Mommy." I was like, "Oh, she'll be back, this day." But, it's a different experience the older he gets with it. So,
oh, I bet. Let's should we get out of here?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'm Reza.
I'm Sandy. Thanks so much for listening. See everyone next week. Thank you.